Welcome to today's audiocast from Aviation International News, the most respected source for business aviation news.
This is AIN News Editor Chad Trotvetter. On Monday, at the opening of Embraer's first assembly plant in the United States, AIN spoke with company chief executive Fred Corrado about the new Melbourne, Florida facility. The head of the Brazilian aircraft manufacturer also shared his thoughts on how Embraer is faring in the business aviation market, as well as potential plans to further expand its product line in this space.
We have today Site 1 is a manufacturing facility. This is assembly for the Phenom aircraft, 100 and 300. So the investment was done here for up to 8 aircraft a month. So the next 2 years, we're going to ramp up to 60, and beyond that, we can see how market reacts. And so it's a pure manufacturing facility. All the final assembly will be done here. So the airframe, you know, wing and fuselage come from Brazil. Engines come from Canada. You know, most of the supply is U.S. anyway, so it will be all drop shipped to Melbourne. And electrical, hydraulical, mechanical, final painting, test flighting, everything will be done here.
Right.
Site number two is a commercial operation where Embraer does not have today a customer center where you have, you know, all the models, all the configurations, mock-ups, real size mock-ups of our products, not only Phenom, but all of the product portfolio on the executive jets. So that site will have all that, and we're going to basically place our people there, our sales force there, and that's worldwide. So you know, customers from around the world, if they want to buy a Lineage or a Legacy 450 or a 500 or a Phenom, you know, from Brazil, they will come here to select their options, their colors, their, you know, configuration specifics. So two separate operations, which kind of makes Melbourne, little by little, all of the headquarters of our business jet operation in a global scale. The square footage of those two initial plants are, I think, about 150,000 square feet, and we have access to a lot of land here. The land is, I think, it's not sure, 70 or 90 acres, but it's a lot of land. So we have to be very creative how to use that. But the city of Melbourne and Brevard County, they've been very, very gracious to us. And once we have this footprint here, it's a great platform for future growth. So today, this is what we have in planning. But our job is to make the company grow, and this is certainly will be taken into account. You know, the presence that we have here and the investment we have done so far.
And initially, you start with the Phenom 100. You won't do 300 here.
Initially, yes. I think the bulk of the production in the next 2 years will be 100s. It's probably the easiest way to warm this thing up, you know, to ramp up the production, have, you know, a productivity. We do not have a firm definition, but, you know, when to introduce, you know, start commingling. But the investment for the 300 is done, and the line will be a single line. So as soon as it makes either market sense or industrial sense, we'll start making the 300 here, you know, along with the 100. So this is not just 100, it's both aircraft.
Right. The facility is empty right now. And when are you bringing tooling in? And when do you start planning on beginning manufacturing here?
Yeah, so the building's up. Now we're hiring a large number of people, sending them to Brazil. You know, shop floor people, typically 3 months. Engineers will be like a month. Then they'll come back here. Tooling will start arriving probably March, April, if that starts tooling arriving. The paint booth will be done by May, I think. So the actual, let's say, assembly work, the actual work shall start mid-year. I'll say July, something, June, July. Okay. We start seeing the, you know, production flow. Of course, this is going to take up next year 30 airplanes. So towards the end of the year, we're going to have more like a rhythm in the production line. And the customer center will be ready by, I think, November. So before year end, we're going to have about close to 100 people here, and the assembly line already moving on, customer center operational. The paint booths will be these two cabins, they will be also operational. So it's just on time, just as scheduled from day one.
Is third quarter first delivery from it?
I think it's fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
Yeah.
How will you serial number the airplanes built here? Will they be done?
Oh, that's a good question.
Will they be done in sequence? You know, where you
that's a very good question. You know, I do not know. I don't know. I intuitively I would say there will be a single serial number
for
the whole family coordinated with Brazil, but that's an easy question. I just don't know the answer, but we can verify that with Luis quickly, but that would be my guess, because that's how we did it in China with the 145. So
any plans to go beyond the Phenom here, or you're not thinking that far down?
As I said, today is premature. I mean, we have to understand the industry is still not out of the woods yet. And when I see the size of this hangar, my challenge is to fill it. First of all, fill this hangar, and then we think about other plans. Yeah.
And how long did it take to do all of this work down here? You started this in what year?
30 airplanes next year, 60 in 2013, sorry. So it will depend on if market reacts. I mean, we can go back easily to 100 airplanes a year. And I see the majority of the Phenom 100s being delivered here, actually, because of the U.S. market is the largest. European customers probably also prefer to take their airplanes out of Melbourne rather than Brazil, because it's a longer ferry flight. And it will depend a little bit on how fast the market recovers. So it's not only our capability to do that.
How many do you plan to deliver this year for year end?
This is just one, maybe two. Okay. This is just really the first one. And of course, with the first one comes the whole certification process. We are working with the FAA as we speak to make sure the plant is certified, to get the production certificate, and the tooling start coming in 2 months, as I said. So with the first unit, we're really trying to get a very smooth ramp up. And this first unit, not rushing to deliver many airplanes this year, rush to have the first article inspection and all the certification in line. So when we start next year, really going up, to 30 airplanes next year, then it is as smooth as possible.
Let's talk about the Legacy 450 and 500. How are those programs going?
They're on time. We probably shall fly the first prototype this year, towards the end of the year. No big news. And I used to say when we developed the E-Jets, no news in a program development usually is good news. So no delays, no major technical issues. So, we're just moving on. We have a lot of people working there in the program in Brazil, engineering efforts, all two internal tests performed, and the performance of the aircraft shall be absolutely on target as we designed it. And, as could be, I think, at this stage.
And you've always stated the Embraer School was to be a major player in the business aviation segment.
Right.
Are you there yet? Are you happy with where you are right now?
I am. I'm happy where we are. Last year, we surpassed $1 billion in revenues in this business. 10 years ago, it was zero. So I think it was a huge commitment to get there. Tremendous investment on the side of the company, and a warm welcome from customers also. So we were very happy to see that, in spite of our legacy being much more on the airline side, people saw the value of, and we're learning a lot. And as we learn, I think we're getting better in servicing the customer and really producing business jets which are really specialized for business aircraft applications. And I think today the one way to see is that all of the conventions, all of the seminars, we are invited. A few years ago we were not invited to all events. Now we are invited to all events. So it's a way to see that we are part of the family now, part of this market now. So it's still probably number 6 in terms of size, but we're growing and we're gaining market share. So as we bring new products in line, we're actually gaining market share even during the crisis, because we're just fortunate to come in with new products in such a difficult time. So as we have some backlog, we're actually growing. So as I said, over $1 billion last year.
From a market perspective, are you happy to be between the Phenom 100 and the Legacy 1000, or do you see aircraft below and above that? Those segments too.
Above the Lineage 1000. The Lineage 1000 is more of a very specific, more niche aircraft. It's a very, very large cabin, range application. So I do see Embraer one day, you know, not short term, I do see Embraer venturing in this ultra long range, large cabin. Maybe not as large as Lineage, maybe smaller aircraft, but ultra long range. We got it there, you know, step by step. You know,
like a
G5. Yeah,
and
in that area. Yeah, with the Globals and the larger Falcons. Let's start. You know, let's do it step by step. You know, we have to prove ourselves. You know, in this entry level with the Phenoms, the Legacy 450-500 will be a great. Great step towards becoming a real solid manufacturer and people start recognizing the brand. Below the Fino 100, not in my, let's say, my to-do list at the top, my to-do list. But let's see, I mean, as we learn, we think the Fino 100 is a great starter, a great, you know, introductory aircraft. Could you capture something below the 100? Always thinking about it. If you would contemplate anything below 100, it would be a tool. But at this stage, we have just, you know, to look at the adjacent market segment is a must always. About larger commercial aircraft, we always look at it. There's no decision. There's nothing short term.
Would Embraer be interested in a supersonic business jet?
That I think is a long shot for us. I mean, we don't. Every time we look at two or three times, you know, a little bit more depth, and we don't see the business case there. And for us, I mean, it may be for somebody else because there are technical challenges which we would have to resolve, and we're not prepared for that today. And the whole business plan viability, which is customers' price, etc., where fuel costs are going. So I that's definitely today out of the agenda.
Thank you for listening to today's audiocast from Aviation International News. For the latest business aviation news, go to www.ainonline.com.